came and shared with us their memories and their thoughts. And today we have some of them back again. We have Mary Magdalene. We have Peter and John. And then we have a man by the name of Simeon and his grandson, and that will really surprise you. So be blessed as they come and minister the word to us, really, this morning. It's a little different from what you might normally expect in a Easter service, but God uses creativity. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth, and we should be the most creative people on earth, amen? We have the Holy Spirit to inspire us, so if John and Peter would come, and Mary Magdalene, and we'll begin.
We were up before sunrise. Several of the women and I had prepared spices and fragrant oils to anoint his body. Such mixed feelings, wanting to go, but saddened at the thought of seeing him dead. I was thinking, wondering how we were going to remove the stone that covered the entrance to the tomb. I thought maybe between us we would be able, but I was afraid it would not be possible. As we walked, some of the women said, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" No sooner did we arrive near the grave when the earth shook. It frightened us. But as we arrived at the tomb, we saw the stone was rolled away. There was an angel sitting on top of the stone. We were almost blinded by his countenance. It was bright like lightning, and his garments were as white as snow. The guards were shaking, and they had passed out, falling on the ground. He spoke to us. He told us not to fear, that Jesus had risen from the dead. He led us to the place where Jesus had been laid. He wasn't there. He told us to go quickly and tell the disciples that Jesus had risen from the dead. You can't possibly imagine how excited I was to tell them. But when I found them, they didn't believe me, though Peter and John did leave right away.
Yes, we did, John. Did we not?
Yes, we did. We ran. You outrun me.
I did.
Not really. I got to the tomb before you did, but I hesitated at the door, and you went right in. I waited outside. I don't know why.
I saw with my own eyes. What Mary had told us was true. The linen cloths were lying there. I looked to one side and saw the handkerchief that wrapped his head lying by itself. I could see him in my mind, removing it from his head and laying it there.
I finally went in and stood next to you. He wasn't there. Only his burial clothes remained. We were so...
Stunned? Yeah.
Yes, that we didn't go back to the others. We each returned to our own home.
What's the matter, John? You look pale.
He's not there.
Who's not where?
His tomb is empty. Mary Magdalene told us that an angel had appeared to them and told them that Jesus had risen from the dead. We didn't believe her. Peter and I went to the grave. All that was there was his burial clothes.
I could not speak. Joy flooded my soul. Waves of joy that took my breath away. This indeed was a day like no other day. The dark clouds of Calvary, the cruel cross, they dispersed. My sadness all but lost. From my soul springs forth boundless praise for this most glorious, blessed day. All the thoughts I had treasured in my heart, now returning, how great thou art, my God, my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, he lives forever. The death, the grave, could not hold him.
Indeed, Mary, the grave is empty, and he is alive, our Lord is alive. I stood at the empty tomb, weeping. Two angels asked me why I cried. Distraught and confused, I replied, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." And then, Mary, what happens I will never forget. I turned and I saw him, but did not know as yet that it was him. Even as he asked me, "Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" I thought him to be the gardener, and I with shaking voice said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." I feared for what he would say, tearfully awaiting his reply. And then he spoke my name, Mary. From my heart burst forth, "Rabboni!" I reached out to embrace him immediately. He tenderly said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God."
Such joy is ours that words cannot express. All has happened just as he did promise. He has turned our deep sorrow and made this a joyful, glorious day. Mary, will you take me to him?
I don't know where to find him. He said he was ascending to his Father.
Then take me to the empty tomb.
Do you not believe me, Mary, that he is alive? That I saw him with my own eyes?
Of course I believe you. But if I cannot gaze upon him, then the empty tomb shall be my praise.
Yes, Mary, I understand. Let me take your hand together on this most glorious of days. At his empty tomb, we will give him praise.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men, you were here before the world began. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, crucified.
Grandpa, is that you?
Yes, Joel, it is me.
But you were dead.
Yes, I was.
I don't understand.
The Messiah, Yeshua, died.
The Messiah? You mean Jesus, the one they crucified?
Yes, the one promised from days of old.
My father told me that he deserved to die, because he called himself God.
He was. He is. He is the Son of God. He became flesh. He is the perfect Lamb of God who gave himself for us.
Why did Father lie to me?
Because he does not yet believe.
I still don't understand how you came back, Grandfather.
Because he lives, I live.
How can that be? Have Mother and Father seen you? How long will you be with us? Will you live with us? Will you play with me again?
Joel, wait a moment. Let me answer your first question. It is the only one I can truly answer. But it is the most important question of all the questions you asked. Are you ready?
Yes, Grandfather.
Do you remember when you were just a little boy, how I used to take you to the temple with me?
Yes, Grandfather. And you would pray and pray and pray some more.
That's right, Joel. I did.
For a long time, I would get hungry and you were still praying.
Yes, I know. It was too long for you. But one day, you will understand. One day, not long before I died, the Holy Spirit came upon me.
The Holy Spirit?
Yes, Joel. The presence of God.
Oh.
By his Spirit, many years before, God had told me that I would not die before I had seen the Christ. So on this day, the Holy Spirit led me into the temple. It was there that I first saw him.
The Christ?
Yes, Joel. His parents had brought him to be presented to the Lord. When I saw him, my heart stood still. I knew it was him. I had been waiting for him for so long that I thought that I had heard the Spirit wrong. But I would never see him before I die, as he had promised me. But, Joel, know this. All his promises are good. And all his promises are true. Do not ever forget that. Well, I saw him, indeed, with my own eyes. Glory be to him. I reached out and took him in my arms. I lifted him up. My eyes met his. My heart was filled with praise. I spoke to my faithful, my true God, my Father in heaven. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.
What did the baby do?
He smiled at me, Joel. It was God, and he was smiling at me. I didn't want to let him go, nor him let go of me. I saw his parents' faces. They were marveling at what they had heard. But I know they did not fully understand what I had received from the Lord. I handed the precious child back to her. And then I blessed them both. And I said to his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed."
What does all that mean, Grandfather?
Joel, more than 700 years ago, the prophet Isaiah spoke those words. I used to read them in the synagogue. I believe I once read them when you were with me. It's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
It pleased God to bruise him. God put him to grief. Why would God do that, Grandfather?
A long time ago, when our people were in the wilderness of Sinai, God gave his people the law through his servant Moses. It was good, and it was holy, as he is holy. But men could not keep his law. God knew that, and he made a way. Through the sacrifices, and even through feast of Passover, he let us know that way. The way was through his Son, the perfect Lamb of God. God would become flesh. He would dwell on us with earth. He would become the sacrifice for our sin. God would indeed see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. God said, "My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities."
What was it you said from the prophet Isaiah about him being led like a lamb to the slaughter?
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth.
Grandfather, Father was there when he was crucified, and he said that Jesus said nothing but seemed to go willingly, that he didn't fight them or struggle with them. How did Isaiah know all this?
Because God revealed his plan to him, Joel.
I must find Father and tell him. I still don't understand how you came back from the dead.
Because he lives. Because he rose from the dead. We have life. Go and find your father and tell him the good news.
Jesus is alive?
Yes, Joel, forevermore.
Will you be here when I come back?
I don't know, Joel. But if I'm not, I will see you in glory.
In glory? I don't understand.
I know, but you will. Just remember that he died for our sins, that he might save us, and that he rose from the dead that we might have eternal life with him. Now hurry and find your father and tell him the good news.
Yes, Grandfather. Goodbye. I love you.
I love you too. Father, God, I thank you for giving me this moment. Bless my grandson, and bless my son. Oh, that he might hear the truth and believe, that all my family might believe. This was more than I ever hoped for. Holding your son in my arms, and now the opportunity to see my grandson. You have been so good to me. Your mercies are indeed new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord has risen, and he lives forevermore. I don't know how long I have in this earthly resurrection, but I know it might not be for long. And so I say to you, you can live today. And tomorrow, and the next day, and for all eternity, because he lives. There are many who are saying the disciples stole his body. Do not believe them. I have seen him with my own eyes. He is gloriously alive. The grave could not hold him. He was God's plan from before the creation of the world. Without his death and resurrection, you are lost and without hope. Try as you will to keep his law, you will fail. Try as you will to trust in your own goodness, you will fail. He is the only way. He is the truth and the life. He is the light, and in him there is no darkness. I saw that in his eyes when I held him in the temple. And I have beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of God. Trust in him today, because he lives. Receive that life today. Glorify him today. Praise his holy name. May you truly live in his resurrected life, now and forevermore.